Bill Dees, the Telegraph editor for many years and former cabinet minister and a war hero, and he once said, an editor who commissions himself to write for his own paper is employing a fool. And you might say the same about an editor who commissions himself to talk at a literary lunch, which I'm going to talk today. The person who should really be talking about it is my co-author, John Davey, distinguished Oxford Don, who can't be here today, but he will be talking about it at the Oxford Literary Festival. I must also thank John Pickford from Kingston, who is here somewhere, John, who his book, Et tu, Brute, The Best Latin Lines Ever, was his idea, but it was a much more high-minded idea when he came up with it, which was to have the greatest hits, as it were, of Latin literature, Catullus, Horace, Virgil, etc. And they are in this book, John, I promise you, but I also said in my terribly down-market way that you'd need some more popular stuff, including the Latin in everyday usage, which is, people say Latin is a dead language, but it's forever importing new words into the language, including that most horrible word of the last 3 years, coronavirus, which is a combination of two Latin words, corona meaning crown, and virus originally meaning a poison, venom from a snake, originally from a Greek word, but the two together were coined for that horrible virus because of the nobles on the top of a crown were like a nobles on the on that horrible virus. And so the book explains those Latin words we use every day, and also those expressions, some of them going out of fashion, but you are all so extremely intelligent, as well as very young and good-looking. You all know the meaning of Juvenal's line, quis custodiet custodes? Yeah, exactly, as you all said, who will guard the guards? And it seems like an extremely high-minded view of who will look after our policemen or government. Actually, it comes from Juvenal was writing about trying to stop his wife from sleeping with her guards in that night. And I won't do the Latin, but the English translation is, I hear what my old friends warn me, bolt her in, constrain her, but who will guard her guards? That's what it's supposed to be. My wife plans ahead and starts making plans for the guards. So it's a way of all those expressions you may or may not know, but expanding on them. And also trying to explain that the Romans, who we think of as being extremely high-minded because of Horace, Virgil, the rest of it, but they were normal people. They bet on Ben-Hur and the 230, and they fell in love with girls. And the best way to see what they really thought is to look at Roman graffiti and Roman inscriptions. There's a lot of that in the book. You all will remember the brilliant scene in Life of Brian, where Brian does all sorts of terrible graffiti in the forum and gets his Latin wrong. And John Cleese's centurion says, Romans go home is an order, so you must use the imperative. But actually, the graffiti is absolutely fantastic, very useful. And I know you're extremely high-minded. I hope you'll forgive some bad language, because the Romans swore like crazy. But the graffiti on the walls of Pompeii is completely disgusting. I'm not sure I can translate it for you, but in the house of Claudius Eulogus in Pompeii, there's a piece of graffiti, I'm not sure I can translate it, which it says, move te philator, which means push off. Well, I can only say philator, I can't actually translate that. In the Basilica in Pompeii, there's a line saying, Lucilla ex corpore lucrum faciebat, which means Lucilla made money from her body. And on a nearby wall, someone has written, Sum tua eris acibus duo, which is I'm yours for two bronze coins, two glasses of wine. But actually, at the same time, I'm not trying to take down the Romans. Their graffiti can be extremely high-minded and very moving. There's poetry on the walls of Pompeii, and there's a lovely bit of lovelorn graffiti on the wall of the house of Pinarius Cerealis in Pompeii, which says, Marcellus praenestinam amat et non curata, which means Marcellus loves praenestina, but she doesn't care for him, which we've all felt that. And the other great source to find out what the Romans were thinking, not just in Rome, but here in Britannia, is inscriptions. And there's been a wonderful source very recently. Next time you go down to London, you must go to the Mithraeum, which is London's best Roman temple, which was discovered in 1954, 30 feet underground, because Mithraeums, the temples for the Persian god Mithras, were all about light and dark, so it was underground originally. It's taken out on the street for many years, you might have seen it, and then when Michael Bloomberg rebuilt his headquarters in London only 5 years ago, he put the temple back where it was originally, on the banks of the River Thames, and he found 14, what his archaeologists found, 14,000 Roman artifacts, including lovely little girls' shoes, carpetinas, lovely little brooches, a lovely little brooch, which looks like a gladiator's helmet, and then amazingly, letters, which Romans wrote their letters, I'm sure you know, into wax in a wood tablet, and they'd score through the wax. The wax rotted many years ago, but the inscription remains. And one of the, I think it's extraordinary, there's not more attention to this, one of the tablets that was discovered is the earliest ever mention, surviving mention in the world of London. It was the address of one of these tablets, and it simply says, the post was great then, it said Londinio Mogontio, which meant to Mogontius, the name of somebody in London. And that's the earliest surviving mention of London from around 70 AD. It's extremely stirring and moving, and you get a feel of real Roman Britain, not just in London, but up in Vindolanda, up just below Hadrian's Wall, found some time ago, more of these inscriptions, letters from Roman legionaries were sent to Gaul and sent back from lovely warm Gaul to freezing Northumberland. And one of these letters comes back from Gaul to a freezing legionary with a care package. And on the letter it says, darling boy, I enclose paria udonum absatua soleorum duo et subligariorum duo, which you all know means, darling boy, here are socks, two pairs of sandals, and two pairs of underpants. And it is just, you suddenly realize they really weren't at all different from us, and actually 2,000 years disappears in a moment. You may find there's been a bit greater passage of time in the history of Roman jokes. There's a passage on Roman jokes, which may not be funny now. I don't expect any laughs, but I think they were funny then. And you can see the skeleton of modern jokes. There was, in fact, a Roman joke book called Philogelos, which means the laughter lover. I'm afraid the jokes haven't improved with age. Here's one. A man complains that a slave he was sold had died. And the seller says, when he was with me, he never did any such thing. Very kind of you to laugh. But actually, some jokes still used today by great comics like the late great Barry Pryor do have their origins in Latin. The old story about Enoch Powell's visit to the barber. Barber says, how shall I cut your hair, sir? And he says, in silence. Is in fact a Roman joke. And there is, I think, one very good Roman joke told about Valerius Maximus, who was a Roman writer in the 1st century AD. And he tells this story about Valerius. A Roman governor of Sicily met an ordinary resident in the province who was his complete spitting image. The governor was completely amazed at the likeness because he said his father had never been to the province. And the lookalike pointed out that my father went to Rome. And that's rather a better joke. But you can see how these things developed into the same jokes we're telling in a far more sophisticated way in Kingston today. So I'll just finish by saying, I suppose, my favourite line, which does come from Virgil. So, John, you can be happy. There is high-minded stuff in there as well as the disgusting graffiti in Pompeii. My favourite line is in the Aeneid, which is Virgil describing Aeneas, who's desperately trying to lift the spirits of his miserable men when things are going very badly in his quest to found Rome. And Aeneas says, Forsen et haec olim meminisse juvabit, which means, one day, perhaps it'll cheer us up to remember these things. I remember reading that as a schoolboy, thinking that was brilliant, so many miserable things. Later on in life, you can look back at it, laugh at, even if it's listening to a very boring person talking about Latin at lunch in Dorset. Thanks so much.